Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is a Friday. Friday, February 4th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17, almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can print off the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. And you can also download from the App Store of your choice, Google Play or Apple App Store, a complete, safe, private, free app. Just type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and you'll get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process. And listening to those shows, sometimes repeatedly, is a great way to formulate a tutorial for yourself to learn how to use these tools and to build your skills in a variety of different situations that might relate to finances, emotions, relationships, physical aches and pains, etc. We hope people do that soon and often because many times that leads to comments and questions or testimonials. And if you have any of that that you'd like to share with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581. And once you've called that number, press 1. That'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. And as I say in most of the shows, we appreciate when people do that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. And I say the word intention rather than goal because in this work we understand that whenever we set a goal for something that we don't achieve, it continues to run in our system. So we learn to manage our goals differently, and we learn to acknowledge and talk about plans and intentions that stay in that category of thought where I haven't elevated it to the level of behavior. I haven't told my mind, show me what behaviors I need to do to make this happen. And our intention with this work is to be of service. It's okay if we're not, it's okay if we are, but our intention is to be of service, and so we keep trying to modify what we're doing, and we appreciate any feedback in one direction or another that lets us know if we're living into that intention. The other thing we're doing this year is we're working with the Way of Mastery, and we're in the second lesson of the Way of Mastery, maybe about halfway through it. And one of the things that came up on Tuesday in the support group was we were listening to a Guy Finley talk, one of his presentations, where he talked extensively about the paradox, the parable, the koan, a statement which seems to contradict itself. You know, in order to live, in order to save your life, you've got to die, etc. These, from the Western, what we call the Western scriptures, there are a number of confounding, conflicting statements that if they happened in the Eastern tradition, they would be called a koan. And a koan is a statement that catches the conscious logical mind in a loop. A koan might be do nothing and nothing is left undone. Another koan is no ignorance, no end to ignorance. So I mention this as a sidebar because where we left off yesterday in the second lesson of Way of Mastery is right before the next heading. And these headings were created, and they weren't actually spoken in the original download. But the heading for this next section is probably going to sound like a contradictory statement or a koan to the Western mind. Mastery arises from innocence. Mastery arises from innocence. And this ties into what we've been told already. This is about noticing when we take ourselves seriously and dropping that, choosing to release our attachment to being serious, to getting it right, to knowing the answers, and to do that with childlike innocence and play and joy. So the heading of this chapter, or this segment of this chapter or lesson, is Mastery Arises from Innocence. In these lessons, we will create a system or a pathway upon which you can walk. You don't have to. No one can force you. Over and over in these lessons, we're reminded we have the choice of what we create moment to moment. So it's not by coincidence that it says we will create a system or a pathway upon which you can walk. And if you choose to do that, you will be choosing to deliberately cultivate the quality of awareness and consciousness that is necessary to stabilize that awareness so that you can bring it to each and every moment of your experience. In order to stabilize my conscious awareness, in order to have the ability to choose consciously what is the focus of my attention moment to moment, I have to cultivate, deliberately cultivate, a quality of awareness that is not there now. a quality of awareness I was not trained into in my life. But these lessons, these suggested exercises, will, if they're done, if you choose to do them, they will create a system or a pathway. And then if you choose to deliberately focus on applying them, it will help you cultivate the quality of awareness that is necessary to stabilize your awareness so you can bring conscious focus to your awareness in each moment. And that's how you move, that's how you deepen, that's how you experience the way of the heart. Imagine then being able to experience whatever arises and maintaining a sense of spaciousness, innocence, and ease. That same spaciousness, innocence, and ease that you've only had in fleeting moments of enlightenment or connection or deep awareness. For instance, know you the experience when things are going well and you are singing a happy tune and life seems to be moving ahead? Do you know that experience? Imagine that same quality of trust, faith, certainty of purpose, even when the buildings are crumbling around you and the bank account has gone dry. Just imagine being able to look at those events with the same sense of innocence and wonder with which you would look at the eyes of your beloved. Such a quality of awareness is perfect mastery. Within it are discovered perfect peace, perfect freedom, perfect joy, and uninterrupted communion with all of creation. And if you would well receive it, that quality of feeling intimately one with all of creation, which is what you have been seeking as a soul, since first the identification with creation called ego began. So it's interesting here. If you would well receive it, it's always there. It's always being offered. It's being given endlessly. It's part of your existence. It's part of your connection to creation. The perfect peace, the perfect freedom, the perfect joy, and the uninterrupted awareness of your communion with all of creation. To be aware of it, all you need to do is receive it. You have to be willing to receive it. Why do we need to be willing to receive it? Because once we created the dream of separation, the belief and the identification with egoic thoughts, conflict and the experience of separation were born in that moment. And everything you've ever attempted to do since then has been an attempt to overcome that dream of separation, that experience of being separate and separated from reality, life, your creator, etc. And to try to gain back what you felt you'd lost. The thing is, it's that the ways you've tried to do that do not work because you're using the same mechanism of thought, the same identification as being in the driver's seat and the one who must be and do it all, that conscious logical thought, that egoic intellectual processing. That's what created the dream of separation, and you're using that to try and end the dream of separation. It can't ever work. The world of conflict, fear, guilt, and unworthiness, and the world of the kingdom lie side by side within your own mind. The eye of the needle that one must pass through is the recultivation of the innocence of a child. It is for this reason that I often taught, become again as a little child to enter the kingdom. The cultivation of the way of the heart. Please pay attention to how many times you hear the word cultivation in just these first two lessons. Cultivating. What does that mean? What does that word mean to you? What is it to cultivate something? It's not that you drop a seed on the ground and walk away. There's preparation of the soil. There's fertilizing the soil. There's tilling the soil to soften it. There's choosing the seeds carefully. There's planting them individually sometimes at just the right depth. There's adding moisture to the soil. There's making certain that there's enough light, sunlight, nutrient light hitting the soil to warm it to just the right temperature so that the seed germinates and sprouts. Cultivating. The cultivation of the way of the heart is that pathway whereby you deliberately and consciously choose to become again as an innocent child. Imagine choosing the perspective moment to moment in your life that you are a child at play in a kingdom. Choosing the innocence, the playfulness, the willingness to allow, accept, embrace all things. Just as you were in the beginning before you ever created and then incarnated into this dimension of experience that seems to be permeated by a sense of conflict and separation before you ever had a body, before you ever incarnated into physical form, you had this absolute wonder and awe and innocence and awareness. So this chapter goes on, this lesson goes on to let us know that you are a creator of your experience and what you decree is. I would ask you now to begin to put into practice put it into the practice in your awareness that what you decree is. So whenever you happen to be someplace, whenever, wherever it comes to your mind, just for a moment, truly become aware of where you are. Where are you? Are you not having an experience of being within a body on a little blue globe spinning through space? Doesn't it seem to you that you are in the middle of a room or walking in a forest preserve or sitting in a chair in a waiting room for a professional office? How did that happen? Are you not within an environment in which there are certain weather patterns going on around you? Perhaps there are sounds that are coming into your ears? Just for a moment, whenever it comes to your mind, work at being truly aware of where you are in that moment. Can you feel the weight of your body as you stand upon your feet or sit in the chair or lie on the bed? Do you notice a tension in your neck? Is your mind racing? Are there thoughts bouncing around in there? Can you begin to bring awareness to exactly what is in this moment? From a place within you of complete innocence and complete allowance and acceptance. You have a saying in your world, quote, it is what it is. That is the beginning of wisdom. you will discover that what is what you have chosen to make of it. Be therefore where you are in each moment and deliberately decide, to accept wholly that you are experiencing what you have decreed in this moment, and it has no cause whatsoever except your choice to experience it. And this is something you're going to have to cultivate, because it's the opposite of what you've been trained to believe. If you were raised in a Western culture, you were trained to focus on outside events and to attribute any internal experience you have to those outside events. Rest assured that whatever the mind may try to say to you, and your mind will throw up all kinds of refutations of this observation, try to demonstrate to you what has been programmed into it for decades. She made me angry. He hurt my feelings. That is tragic. That is pleasant. That is overwhelming. That is marvelous. The outside event is what causes my upset. So rest assured that whatever refutation your mind might serve up for you, if you did not wholly, completely want to be right where you are in any moment, you would not be there. If you are in a body in the field of space and time, rest assured you desired it. You chose it, and it is here. And again, this isn't necessarily your conscious logical mind. This is referring to the higher self, the spark of life, the spark of the divine mind that chose to be here. Begin here. There's no need to judge it, no need to ask it to be different. Just truly be aware of what is. If you're feeling your body sitting in a chair, allow this thought to come into the mind. Quote, I have literally created this experience. Something within me is so grand, so powerful, so vast, so beyond anything that scientists have ever come up with, that I have literally crystallized into the field of experience an awareness of being a body in space and time. This experience has come forth from the field of my consciousness. This is the gift to me of the Creator. And the Creator asks only that I learn how I am creating as the Creator creates. I have said many times that creation looks upon you and says, this is my only creation, and it is good. It is just as it should be. For the Creator marvels at what you are, knowing perfectly well that what you are emerged from the Creator's holy mind. So please, likewise, look upon your creations and marvel. How is it that you could abide in this time on this planet? How could it be that you can place yourself behind the wheel of an automobile and actually get from point A to point B? That is a mystery and a marvel, and no one knows how it is done. Yet it is done, time and time again. The reason it is done is that all power has been given unto you, and what you decree is. A man or a woman shall decree a thing, and it shall be so. You have decreed this moment. Please own it. Be aware of what you have done. Cultivate the awareness of your power to create your experience each and every moment. For by owning it right now, you can begin to sense the incredible and awesome power that flows through you and the mind the spark of creative mind that you are in each moment. That is the power to create. Begin by choosing now to cultivate the practice in this manner. Set the intention so that in each hour of your day for 3 to 5 minutes, you practice by bringing this quality of awareness to exactly whatever you are experiencing, whenever that thought arises to do the practice. Please, watch the chance, watch the Western mind go into rigidity and decide to get out a calendar and block out every 15 minutes and say, here's a 3-minute block here and a 5-minute block there, and I'm going to set my alarm. Please notice the urge to try and control or get it right and judge yourself when you do it one way or another. This is about doing it when the thought comes to your mind. This is about cultivating a sense of awareness that arises naturally as you live your life day to day. So when the thought arises to do so, you do the practice then. Where does that thought come from? Well, what we're suggesting is it shouldn't come from your smartphone. Where does it come from? Imagine that you're going through the day and you've been hustling and bustling about. You've gone to your office or your work. You've talked to friends. You've bought groceries. You've done all of these things. And then suddenly, in the midst of all of that, the thought appears, oh, I want to focus on being aware that I am literally the creator of what I experience. When it arises in such a fashion, it will be because you have cultivated, you have initiated the desire, you have spent some of your mind energy focusing on this practice and this pathway. And if that arises in the middle of your day, do you think it happened by accident? No. The thought is penetrating your conscious awareness from the depth of your mind that rests right next to the mind of the Creator. Therefore, the power to generate that very thought is the effect of the Creator's will entering into your field of being, penetrating the veils of distraction, and shining forth as the thought, that's right, 5 minutes every hour. Can you feel the awesomeness of that? For truly, in truth, as always, you are linked to the mind of the Creator, and the Creator knows how to bring you back to complete freedom, perfect peace, and mastery of this entire realm. You do not know how to do that. The Creator knows how to do that. The One Mind, the Christ Mind, the Holy Spirit, the Great Comforter, endless names that we create for this process, for this energy, for this consciousness. Those who truly love creation and would truly awaken will feel something compelling them to master this simple practice for 5 minutes each hour. They will learn to delight in and look forward to it. Pretty soon, those 5 minutes will stretch into 6, then 10, then 15, and 50, until finally, there is established in their awareness the unchanging realization that everything arises, everything that arises is something they have decreed, and so it is. 5 minutes every hour is not much to ask. For 5 minutes every hour, be as you are created to be. Allow yourself to be as you are created to be. Watch the tendency in the Western mind to should on yourself about this. There is no should about this. There is no great accolade to be won if you manage to get through an entire day where 5 minutes in every hour you spend doing this. There is no shame to be had if you wake up 3 days from now and realize you haven't done it once. That's the ego, either creating the acclaim or the shame. This is about the cultivation of awareness. Step us back to where we began today with the heading that says, mastery arrives from innocence. Mastery does not arrive from putting your nose to the grindstone and making sure that you set enough alarms on your iPad and your smart devices and the clocks around your house, and you pay your assistant to remind you to do this so that you never forget to do that 5-minute exercise in each hour. That's not what mastery arises from. Mastery arises from cultivating the innocence, cultivating a presence of awareness, so that when the thought arises, oh, I should spend a few minutes tuning into the realization that I have chosen to be here, that I am creating this experience. And when I do that, I will feel the connection to the one mind, to the flow of creation. 5 minutes every hour, be as you are created to be. A creator decreeing that which brings forth experience. Catch it the next time you say, well, I'm really here because I have to be. I'm really just doing this because it's what I have to do. Catch that and see its false nature. See it as a thought of the egoic mind. Rest in the truth. I've chosen to be here. I'm choosing how I experience it. I can choose again if I don't like the product of my choices. Take the words ought, should, must, and have to, write them on a piece of paper and look at them. And then light a match and burn the paper. Let it dissolve to dust. This is a symbol of allowing the energy you've given these words to become again as the dust or the ash of the ground. Clear from your consciousness all identification with such words, for all of them are denials of reality. So this is where the Western mind is just going to start flip-flopping and tying itself in knots. 5 minutes every hour? Oh, my God, how am I going to do that? Well, maybe if I get, maybe there's a special app I can buy. Maybe I can pay somebody to follow me around and poke me with a sharp stick for 5 minutes every hour. That's the opposite of what is being suggested. Even if I were to do that, it would not put me on the path which we are calling the way of the heart. So notice what your mind is doing when you hear a suggestion like, make the commitment to spend 5 minutes every hour realizing that you are creating your own experience. Notice what the Western mind does, and notice how quickly, how clearly this book comes out and tells us, take the words ought, should, must, and have to, and write them on a piece of paper. Look at them, notice what comes up in you about them, and then burn it. Burn the piece of paper. Let it turn to dust. Use this as a symbol of allowing the energy that you have given to these words about how you need to and you should and you must and you have to, allow that energy to dissipate from your consciousness. Those energies are not on the pathway that we're calling the way of the heart. Clear from your consciousness any identification with such words. Must, have to, need to, should, ought to. They are denials of the actuality of life. Many times I've shared with you, you need do nothing. Listen to these words and take them into yourself as though they are your own voice, because they are. You need do nothing. Well, what does that mean? I thought I was just told that in order to be on this pathway, in order to reconnect to my source, in order to stay in alignment with my true nature, I need to stop every 5 minutes and reconnect my awareness to the process of how I'm creating my experience of life and how I've chosen. I thought I needed to do that. That's the ego. Judging, comparing, criticizing, weighing, preparing you to either exalt yourself for such a fabulous job or berate yourself for failing at it. You need do nothing. You do not have to survive. Whoever told you that you had to survive? You do not have to make everybody happy. Whoever told you that you had to? Whoever told you that you could make anyone happy? That's one of the biggest lies you've ever been told. You do not have to abide as a body in time and space. Whoever told you that you had to? You do not have to pay your bills. Who told you that? There are people every day on this planet who refuse to pay their bills, who walk away from their job, who file bankruptcy. And yeah, it's going to create a set of ripples of energy and effects that can be experienced one way or another according to your choice if you choose that. But the fact of the matter is you don't have to. You literally need do nothing. This is quite different than wanting or choosing to do something. You do not need to love your parents. You do not need to honor your father and your mother. You do not need to worship your creator, me, or anybody else. You do not need to love yourself. You literally need do nothing. For need is an expression of the perception that there is something you lack. Because you are one with all of creation, there is never a moment when you lack anything at all. We all know the mental mindset, the cultural conditioning, the family conditioning of how we aren't good enough until we do this or that, and we aren't lovable unless we have this or that. And in truth, we literally need do nothing. Can you allow the thought to emerge in your mind when you arise in the morning? I need do nothing today. I don't even have to get out of this bed. I don't have to go into an office. I don't need to fulfill that order. I don't need to say good morning to my mate. I literally need do nothing. For please, just observe, how can there be the power of freedom to choose and to create when you're being governed by the belief of the world that you must be in a certain way? The belief that you need to be acceptable to others, that you need to conform and fit in, that you need to dress the way others dress, that you need to be committed to surviving an extra day upon this plane. If those needs were true, there could be no freedom. There can be no freedom wherever there is need. So here we are, about to set up practicing for the first two axioms. These are the first two axioms of the Way of the Heart. These are to be built on, to be remembered, to be cultivated, there's that word again, worked with, massaged, focused on, observed, playfully, with childlike innocence, engaged with this practice. I am created as the Creator created me to be. I am free. and nothing sources my experience but me in each moment. Nothing has an effect on me whatsoever except for that which I choose to allow to affect me. I need do nothing. It's recommended that we take a breath here. You don't need to, but it's recommended that you take a deep breath, hold it at the top, and slowly exhale. The lesson goes on to say, in the beginning, we would suggest that you practice this second axiom in the morning and in the evening as you are arising and as you are retiring. At least twice in each of your days, we would ask you to cultivate for 5 minutes the repetition of this thought so that you feel it in your bones. I need do nothing. Now please watch what arises within you as we read that paragraph again. Here is a suggestion. It's only a suggestion. You may be asked, you may be called from the heart of your being to ignore this entire paragraph. You might be asked, it might come to you from the depth of your mind and your awareness to do this exercise more than just twice a day and more than for 5 minutes. And yet you need do nothing. So please watch the mind. Watch the koan, watch the contradiction that can get developed in the Western mind when somebody says, here's a practice you might do. At least twice in each of your days, we would ask you to cultivate for 5 minutes the repetition of this thought. What's the thought? I don't need to do this exercise. I don't need to take my next breath. I don't need to stay alive. I don't need to go to work. I don't need to say good morning to my mate. I may choose to do all of those things, some of them or none of them. This is not about doing the exercise because it was assigned. This is about what can awaken in your consciousness when you allow these thoughts in and you cultivate them, you work with them, you bring your awareness to them, you analyze, you observe with childlike innocence, you notice any tendency for judgment or constriction or contraction, and you release it as quickly as you can, moving back to that childlike innocence. This thought, I need do nothing, will come as quite a shock to your consciousness, and your mind will say, but wait a minute, I have all these things I have to do. What about this? What about that? Oh my goodness, is the world going to stop spinning if I stop needing what I need? Dear friends, that would be up to the world and not up to you. The power of these first two axioms will be what everything that follows is built upon. And yet, everything that follows is merely a way of watering those two axioms and making them the anchor of your awareness. For when an anchor is firmly in place, you will literally create whatever you so desire, and you will create it from perfect freedom and perfect deliberateness. You will even transcend miracle-mindedness. For miracle-mindedness is still a stage of perception, which is just sort of mastery. It's just short of mastery. Mastery comes when you know that you are literally and deliberately creating. There is nothing miraculous about it. You will decree a thing, and it shall be so. That as the Creator creates. For while the Creator marvels at you, the Creator knows perfectly well that your creation was not a miracle. It was very deliberate. It was born from the pure radiance of the energy we call love, life, the world, God, the Creator. The Creator does not sit on its throne and say, I wonder if I'm worthy to create my children, my offspring. I wonder if I'm worthy to express myself through the divine spark of consciousness that my children are. It does not enter into the holy mind of the Creator. I wonder if it's okay for me to create a solar system. The Creator receives a thought, or you might say a thought emanates within its holy mind. He decrees it, and it is so. And the Creator looks upon all things and says, this is what it is, and this is fine, just the way it is. The last segment is titled Exercise in Conscious Creation. The third and last exercise we would give you in this lesson is this. Choose something that you do every day that you are convinced is so utterly ordinary that it certainly does not hold any power or any spiritual meaning whatsoever. This could be something as simple as having a glass of water, brushing your teeth, or yawning. Choose something that you know you do every day and decide to make this the focus of your worship, the focus of your conscious awareness for that brief period of time, so that when you do it, you stop and you say, ah, I did this and it is done. It is very good. Even if it is something as simple as raising your head from the pillow, become aware of it, own it as self-created, and as you contemplate that action, say this to yourself. It is very good. I have done this. It is good. I have created this experience. Again, those that are truly committed will find that they begin to enjoy this process, and they begin to apply it more and more to other events in their lives. They begin to reawaken the childlike joy of building a castle in the sandbox. For in truth, that is all you are doing here. Consciousness is your sandbox, and you are creating castles. You've simply forgotten to enjoy them. When you want to be rid of them, you lament, oh, but if I give this up and change my mind and move on, what will happen to my creations? What will others think of me if I act like a child and just take my little plastic shovel and knock the castle down and go in and have a sandwich for lunch? What will people think of me? Will I fit in? Will I be accepted? Will I be judged? Will I be persecuted? There is a position in your mind who could say, who cares? The opinions of others mean nothing unless you choose to make them mean something for you. Now we come to what concludes this lesson. So here's the question for you. What blocks you in your own mind? For even as you are hearing this, you may recognize a resistance. That resistance is the energy of fear. Uh-oh, what will happen if I follow this path? That part of your mind, called the ego, will rise up to tell you that if you listen to the one that some have called the savior of the world, it will take you to a path of destruction. That is because the voice for ego knows that it will be destroyed if this path is followed. The reality of who you are cannot be destroyed. That resistance that comes up in you is fear, and fear is one of the energies which is out of alignment with the truth of the kingdom. Therefore, fear not and continue in faith, for I say unto you, what you will discover at the end of this pathway is perfect freedom, perfect power, perfect spaciousness, perfect joy, and perfect peace of living. living, literally living in the kingdom of heaven. Choice is yours. For those of you that will feel this resistance come up so strongly, and for those of you that will yet call out unto me in your dreams and prayers, help me. Help me get through this. I say unto you, you walk not alone. I cannot be further from you than the width of a thought. And yes, you are the creator of that thought. I too embarked upon just such a path. Each axiom that I will share and shall refine, as well as the many exercises in the way of mastery, these are specifically exercises and truths that were given to me from the time I was initiated by certain Essene teachers in the way of the heart. Think about it. When my teacher said to me, it's time for you to go spend 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, don't you think I had a little resistance come up within me? I too had the choice. I had to notice that I was creating the thought of fear. I had to notice that I was separating myself from the great protection of the energy of creation, the awareness of the energy of creation. Some would call it the love of God. I had to physically move my body into the wilderness to move through my own rings of fear and discover what was on the other side. The pathway that I have walked is the same pathway that you are walking. And if our pathway is the same, then we all walk together toward the creation and away from illusion, pain, weakness, unworthiness, guilt, and even death. So engage in your exercises with great zeal, with great joy, and above all, with great outrageous playfulness. Play with this. You cannot be playing with this if you beat yourself up because you're not remembering for 5 minutes in every hour to do an exercise. If you're not remembering 5 minutes in the beginning of the day and 5 minutes in the end of the day to do that exercise and you beat yourself up, that's not playfulness. Learn to look with innocence upon all that arises. Abide lovingly with all of your creations, including the places within your mind where fear has made a home. Eventually, if you put these little exercises to work, much indeed will arise. The upset, the shame, the guilt, the judgment, the pain, the fear will arise. Practice then and practice well and practice with joy and playfulness. Know that you are loved, loving, and lovable forever, and that in truth the only thing that is occurring is that an old dream is being released, that a new dream might replace it. The dream of worthiness, peace, wakefulness, and union with all of creation. Again, I say, I come not alone in this specific work, but I come with many who support your healing and your awakening. Therefore, indeed, be at peace this day, beloved friends. Abide lovingly with your creations. Amen. So there we have it, at the end of a couple weeks. First two lessons of the Way of Mastery. Hopefully a clarion call to learn to dance and play and look at your life and all of your creations with innocence and understanding that if you don't like what you have created, you can still look on it lovingly, own it as your own creation, and choose differently in the next moment. And there aren't really any words to describe how at one and the same time, if you know, if you get, if you let this soak into your mind, if you let yourself practice even the first two lessons of the Way of Mastery, you don't need anything else. And yet, in the same moment that that is true, this work just deepens more and more profoundly as you go through the future, the coming lessons. So we've only got about 4 minutes left. The call number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a brief conversation. What's on your mind? How can we support you? How are you finding this experience of going through the lessons as slowly and carefully as we are? I had somebody raise a question, and I read through this lesson again, and I thought, oh, there's that question that came up, but I read through it too fast. So the question had to do with one of the segments we just read . It's not coming to me, so I won't try and find that in the list. Area code 513, you're in the air. Who do we have?
This is Tom. I have been enjoying very much the process and the speed at which you've been going through the Way of Mastery. And this morning, I don't know, I was just triggered to explore the Christ Mind Way of Mastery website and came upon the Yeshua letters icon and clicked on it and read the first letter. It was amazing. It helped me, you know, it gave me an insight as to, you know, where it all started. So I just wanted to check in, say hi, and thank you for your contributions to this work, and many blessings.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It is there is a book titled The Yeshua Letters, and it's part of that pathway, as is the book The Way of the Servant. And we will probably eventually get to that. I don't know if it will be in sequence, but it's a great idea that people can tap into reading segments of that book and or The Way of the Servant and or all kinds of other little snippets that Yam has been putting out there over the years. So I'm glad you're finding it useful. Thank you for the call, letting us know that. And blessings.
Blessings. Thank you.
I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will hope that Jeannie Rice is available.
I am here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome. Have yourself a wonderful show and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. I hope you do too. Blessings. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, February the 4th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael. Hello, Michael. Well, it's
my
showing
mute
him on
button
the
got lost again, sweetie.
Okay. All right.
My phone just sometimes kind of hides that from me. So welcome, everybody. It's delighted that you're here, honored that you take the time each day that you do to join us for this ancient conversation, brought forward into our modern world based on a conversation that started 2,000 or more years ago. And for us, it started, let's see, Jeannie, when is the actual start of our 11th year? Is it this week, I think?
It was January 31st.
31st, so we're there. So we're in the 11th year of an ongoing seminar, an ongoing workshop that has just gone in all kinds of directions, and much appreciation for the support that keeps it moving and the participation that keeps the conversation going. We have our granddaughter again today. We're blessed for that, to have her with us. And as I was contemplating, and I've spoken before about how she's really taught me what my job is as a grandfather, what my job was as a father, to really be that space of love for her. And I was kind of contemplating that very early this morning, like, interestingly enough, about the warmest point of the day was about 4 this morning. It was 55 degrees when I got up, and it's now somewhere down, I'm not sure exactly, into the 30s, so kind of a strange day. But in any event, as I was sitting contemplating that and thinking about the fact that, you know, our job is not to shape the child, but really to hold the space that receives the true form of the child intact, to really be a space free of the past, free of distortions, space of love that embraces the truth of the child and really supports the fullness of its incarnation. Many adults in today's world have a mold that they want to pour their child into. You know, it's like they've got this ready mold for them, and the child has to fit there. And if not, then the child is disapproved of. And once the disapproval starts, it's a downhill journey for the child and the parent. When rather than having a mold that we want to pour them into, I was just realizing that it's my job to be the space of love and support for her essence, entering and expressing its fullness, her created essence reflecting itself rather than trying to fit it into some kind of a mold that I have. And from there, it went into, you know, here's the invitation to do the next level of my work, because as the adult, what do I have to do? I have to process through that space myself. And to do that, we must hammer out every dent, every assault, every distortion forced on us by the past in order to really comprehend the process of supporting the incarnation of a child. And the importance of forgiveness as the tool of removal, the dent remover that allows us to really truly be that space of love, free from even the slightest inclination toward any sort of hostility, any sort of fear, any sort of mold that we've been fitted into that would restrict the incarnation of the child. So just sort of open to think of love, and of course this applies to all of us. What we deserved to have that space rather than a mold set for us. And how many of us got messages about, you know, just a myriad of messages. I remember a couple of years ago we were up in Michigan, and there was a kind of citywide art festival going on, and one of the art pieces was done by a woman, and it was the shape of a human female form, life size, and written all over the forms, or the form, pardon me, were all the thought disorders that the artist had seen as, and I don't know whether it was molding her or the culture, whatever it was, whether they came from the culture, but the, written all over this mannequin form were these messages. And I can remember reading these messages and having empathy for what this artist had gone through to create this piece of art. And one of the messages that was written, really, I don't remember any of the others, but one just impressed itself on my mind very powerfully, and the message was, I wish you would die so that I can be happy. You talk about the ultimate of projection, the ultimate of blame, the ultimate of non-responsibility, some adult giving a child a message such as that. And how insane some of the messages are that we've been given. And how, when under stress, we can tend to pass those messages along. And it's the point where, when we're under stress, and of course, this could be messages we give to a child, to a spouse, to a friend, to a lover, to ourselves. And, you know, there's a conversation in the world about reparenting, and how does this apply to us as individuals already formed? Well, it's time for us to be that space of love for ourselves, to undo, to forgive all the dents and nicks and scratches. And to become that space, to return to that space of active love, and to kind of reincarnate ourselves in the world in a way that reflects our true nature. How would love see us as a child and nurture the truth of that? You know, the world basically says, we want this form, and builds a mold that produces the desired shape. The truth about the raising of a child is the exact opposite. The child is created essence, it already has its perfect form. You had at your birth a perfect form already created. And if those who were responsible for your upbringing had a different mold for you, then there were many of these thought disorders, many of these errant messages that we need to be careful we don't pass on to the child, or aberrant energies we need to be careful that we don't, if they come up in us, to allow love to dissolve them, to forgive them rather than impose them upon the child and become the power person that, you know, intimidates the child into opening and taking that energy on as their own. So that child is created essence. You are created essence. You already had a perfect form at the instant of your creation, and that's never changed. And so the invitation is to hold the space. You know, if you're responsible for a child, to hold the space for that child to shape its form, its reflection, free from fear, hostility, so that no dents, no distortions are introduced, but rather just support for the expression of being. And to go through that process, to give that gift to yourself, is really the work of forgiveness. And so the purpose of this show is to really be here in support of that, and to move through the layers, the generational patterns that have molded us. You know, you remember in the scriptures that you hear them talk about, you know, do not be molded by the world or you will end up moldy. Well, it's not exactly the way it went, but in essence, when it was said, do not be molded by the world, they were saying, be careful of the shape, the energetic shape that the world holds and that you're not here to fulfill that. If you have fulfilled it, then it's time to start banging out the dents in the mold and allowing yourself to be reshaped and to invite, you know, remembering that we have this power in us that in Aramaic was called Ruach HaKodesh, that Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago. There's this feminine elemental force in us that literally knocks out the dents, undoes the effects of our errors, and then supports and teaches us the truth. So, you know, if nobody else is around to support that in you, then there is that elemental force in you, Ruach HaKodesh, that is there to support you. And at your creation, there was a neural structure put in place, according to the ancient Aramaic. There was a neural structure put in place to guide you to your highest and best. And as you call that forward, as you call on that elemental force in you, as you apply the tools of forgiveness, the tools of removal of what never belonged, and something different happens. And you become the space of support for your own true being to incarnate fully, to be fleshed out, to fill in the space in this world that is here for you. So it occurred to me it was just another way of thinking about this idea of who we really are and what's really possible. You know, in a world where, you know, somebody's supposed to be tough, somebody's supposed to be angry, somebody's supposed to be a winner, somebody's supposed to get all the money or all the stuff, you know, and on and on and on go the messages. All of those things are dents that inhibit the presence of being within our own physiology. And the breath is one of the big keys to opening this space. So I'm going to invite you to just take a moment and take a couple of nice deep breaths. And allow yourself to go back in time as you breathe each breath you take. Just allow yourself to go back a little further in time in your mind and in your awareness. And know that your mind cannot tell the difference between a real and imagined experience. If there were dents hammered into you, as you forgive and hammer those dents out, and then bring in the energy of the ideal space, the ideal support, then you get to receive it. So imagine that you can go back in your memory bank and as you just take a few deep breaths, just allow your breath to flow deep and deep, deep into your belly, way up high into your chest. And imagine that you can go back to the very moment of your conception. Sadly, and all too often with our what's generally referred to as puritanical society, there was something sinful about that moment, which is just like one of the biggest insane dents one could ever put in a human experience. Remembering that that word sin in Aramaic simply means an energy that's off the mark. So imagine, reimagine the moment of your conception where there was nothing but pure, perfect presence of love. That there was honor in the relationship. Even if you know there was not and there was conflict, allow yourself to reimagine a space where your mother and your father came together out of the pure connected essence of love. and that the act of your conception was filled with absolute purity and grace. That both the mind of mother and father were in that connected, sweet space of honoring and cherishing each other and expressing the generosity of spirit, extending to each other that deep, deep commitment, that deep, deep presence of love. And that surrounded the fertilization of the egg that became you. That was the energy of your beginning in the physiological world. And that's the energy that matches who you are in your created essence. And as you breathe, notice where there are any tension points in your body, if there are. Allow your breath to reach into those tension points, wherever they are, be they your feet, your calves, your neck, your shoulders, your back, your groin, your legs. Allow the breath to just gently move through and flush and wash any sort of disintegrative energy out of your tissue structure, leaving only room for the truth of who you are to be become in flesh. Imagine going through the process of birth and coming into a world. And again, the mind can't tell the difference between a real and an imagined experience, and perhaps your birth wasn't this way. But let's now bring the energy of the pure and the perfect. As you breathe, you go through this process of awakening to the pressures that are going to bring you through the womb into the world, or from the womb into the world. Every energy that is needed is there for you. Right down to the immune strengthening secretions in your mother's body that you melded with as you moved through the birth canal and came into the world. Inoculated perfectly for perfect 100% immunity. And as you breathe, you allow the purity of that breath to bring the active presence of love into every cell of your structure. And imagine that as you begin to grow, there's that warm, welcoming space into which you came into the world. And the active presence of love being there present with you to nurture your unfolding, to nurture your development physiologically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. Imagine that that present love was there throughout those early days and months of growing. And that the absolute powerful presence of your father's love, your father's being was present with you and for you. And even if it wasn't, allow, remember the mind can't tell the difference, allow that energy to come in and receive as a nutrient that pure presence of that male energy of love expressing and being the space for you and joining with your mother's pure essence and presence, nurturing and creating a space for you to express fully. breathe into that space and just allow yourself to imagine how that feels to be held. And held with total, complete flexibility so that your unique being had a space to incarnate and to unfold in the world, free of restrictions, yet with enough support there to allow you to understand how the world works, to grow into mental, emotional, intellectual, physiological perfection. Imagine receiving, if there are any messages, you know, you spoke of this artist and the disastrous messages that were painted on her mannequin. Imagine if you were given any of those types of messages that you can just, you know, imagine this mannequin in front of you and here are these thought disorders, these messages, and you're able to just reach in and just scrub them away from your form. Removing, breathing, and allowing the breath to just brush you clean of any kind of limitation. And you breathe deeply and your whole structure responds to the presence of love. Your created essence, your already perfected form, is being liberated within your life. And there's total support for the expression of your being. And as you allow that energy to move throughout your existent physical form, so-called physical, your existent energetic form, allow any of the dents that were picked up along the way to just be smoothed out, removed, and imagine your physiology is structured and shaped and a reflection, a correcting, a self-correcting reflection of the truth of who you are in expression. Imagine that if there is anyone who played the role in your life of a power person and was not functioning as love, imagine them before you speaking apology to you for their not understanding, for their inability. Imagine them taking responsibility as you're just able to be there in your perfection and receive their support. Their remorse evaporates offenses and turns into compassion in you, in which case you can then extend and return that energy of perfection to the person who perhaps there has been resentment or fear of from the past. Imagine as you breathe, anywhere that there's tension in your form, that tension softens on still another level. And note that that tension can only exist because of an energy that you've engaged in. And as you soften and breathe, you can embrace whatever that energy is instead of resist it and creating tension within your form. You can embrace it in this perfected state of pure being, of pure love, that you can embrace it. Breathe into it and allow it to be transmuted. So just take a moment, just breathe into that state. breathing with you. And imagine, if you will, that any and every power person that has ever existed in your life comes forward to speak to you a new commitment, a new way of expressing toward you. As they promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth, to be true to you, and always engage in just and fair behavior with you. Listen to their voice as they say to you, I commit to always be sweetness in your life, to nurture you daily and treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect. In my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether in your presence or not. In every interaction, I commit to affection for you, to look for and acknowledge the highest and best in you, and as I surrender to love, our true nature, I will use only voice tones that reflect my deep, deep caring for you. My connection to love, our source, gratitude for my relationship with you and our serenity will always be more important than any issue. I open my being to embrace you in my love. I open my being to be embraced in your love. If anything unlike love comes up, I will hold this in my heart and listen. As I learn to speak, experience, and be responsible for my own realities, I am here for and with you. I promise to speak only truth to you as I keep communication open and keep love conscious, active, and present as we heal, celebrate life, and grow together. And even if these are words that you could not fathom your power person actually saying, you have the right to create an image of that individual coming to you with this level of commitment and offering it to yourself, to use this spiritual faculty of imagination. Image in to bring that sweet expression of commitment and support fully into your physiology, into your emotional body, into your mental body. And then as you look in the mirror, you recognize your willingness to offer that very commitment to yourself. And you breathe it in. Allowing every cell in your structure to just receive the sweet presence of your breath. And the truth of who you are. And so it is. And as you gently allow yourself to come out of that altered state of receptivity, allow yourself to just come back to this moment And if there are any questions, thoughts, share with us. Any way we can support you. If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, our calling number is 563-999-3581. Call that number. You're listening to the show. And if you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel. Jean will see your hand go up and do the magic of technology. She'll introduce you by your area code. And I'll take a moment here to just express deep gratitude for the technology that we have, that we can share this space together today and every day. And especially for Jeannie's genius to be able to keep all of that on track, because I wouldn't even come close. So thank you, dear heart.
You're welcome.
And do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room to be aware of?
No, it's all quiet. So we've got 28 minutes. We have plenty of time. Someone press 1. Let's talk.
Yeah, let's say hello. Time for dialogue. Moving out of monologue into dialogue. So if I had been in your hometown,
you
and you happen
just
to
go
be
up.
In, oh, great. Well, then I don't have to say another word. Let's go for it.
Area code 610, I believe it's Susan. Welcome.
It is. Hello, friends.
Why there, young lady.
Hey, how are you, and how's Dad? And thank you for the meditation. I'm trying to learn to meditate, and the best I can do is walk. But anyway, I asked you a question. I want to hear how things are with your dad, Jeannie, and heard about Arya Rain, and that's great.
He's, you know, cognitively, he seems to be back. Michael and I have been going over every day and putting him on the Avacyn, and also we have these compressor boot things that go from his toes up to his knees and applies heat, and it does this compression stuff. So his circulation is looking good in his feet. He's not putting weight on his legs yet, and that's what he needs to do. And he's not eating very well right now. But
Oh, well.
Thank you.
How are his spirits being in there? Is he liking it at all?
I'm not sure.
He seems like he's doing
fairly
well with that, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't actually, I don't think, understand, because about every day, you know, when we leave, he's like, well, do I stay here? You know, and we'll say, you go to your room. And he says, oh, I've got a room here, you know. So he kind of acts like, you know, it's like 50 first dates or Groundhog Day.
New every time, right.
Wow. And yet he knows you guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. Would have been his great
niece? It's his granddaughter.
Granddaughter?
No, his granddaughter, yeah.
Okay.
Tim.
Who's in her?
Brother below me, his daughter. Oh, yeah.
Came to visit with her family the other day. And he hasn't seen her for, I don't know, at least 4 or 5 years. And hasn't seen her very much, literally, in her life, but he knew her right off the bat.
Oh my
so
gosh.
that was cool. So cognitively, it's just the short-term memory is one of the big challenges, that and getting his legs going. So anyone who would just, you know, send support and a caring space for him to recognize the need for starting to put weight on the legs, on the muscles of his legs, and demanding that they work, and his long-term memory coming back, or short-term memory, pardon me, so that he's a little more present. But he knows us every time we come now. I mean, there was a time period after COVID, I think there was a fog, but he's pretty much worked through now, so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows who we are when we're there, which there were times just a few weeks ago when he didn't. So he's definitely moving in the right direction and seeming to be, you know, aside from not putting weight on his legs and walking, seeming to be fairly vital.
Good.
So we're holding the space for a new level of activation of his physiology.
To go over, how long of a trip is it over there?
Oh, it's not. It's only 15, 20 minutes away.
Oh, not bad.
So it's a local facility, so it's easy to get to. So how are you, young lady? What's happening in your world?
Tim and I are very well, and we're watching Jacob and Luke particularly very closely. Hard to get a read on Jacob. He's sober, but he's over-medicated to the point where we can't tell whether he has hurt his brain or whether it's the medications. And he knows that the meds aren't right, and so he took it upon himself to find a psychiatrist who would work with him to reduce those, which I thought was a great sign.
That's awesome.
It is, and I'm hoping he gets to work on it. I've also suggested that he consider coming to a nearby university with a very fine theater department here so that he could live nearby or with us, whichever he chose, and have just the support of family. And it's also a drug and smoke-free campus. It's Muhlenberg College, very good college. And he would like that, but he's still got it in his head that this high-powered place, to which he has a scholarship, which is a big deal, he should go back there, but he's frightened about going back there. So he's got all of the rest of the winter and into the spring and through the summer to make up his mind, but we keep putting an idea into his head about the possibility that that might not be the right place for him. And he's so talented. Even now, he can do a terrific audition. He can click into another modality, and he's got energy, and he's got his voice back, and he can dance and sing, and it's amazing. But when he's not doing that, he becomes kind of remote. And I listened to a wonderful interview by Dr. Tim and a man named Dan Hofstetler, I think his name is, who runs a kind of an alternative healing center out in Chicago, where they use behavioral therapy. They do a lot of groups. They teach the kids how to join the human race again, having been addicted terribly. And when he went through the characteristics of a kid who's been addicted, it sounded just like Jacob, which in a weird way was very encouraging.
Right.
They teach them social skills. They have them practice greeting new people, looking them in the eye, really basic things as these
connecting.
Kids are coming out of the haze. Yeah. And so I've sent the video to my daughter, and she's over busy. I've given her an idea of what it's about, but it's sort of in the back pocket. I'm thinking he could use another stint in a live-in facility, and this one's amazing because they do take insurance if you have it. But if you have no money, they'll take you with no money paid, which is
awesome.
Phenomenal that they can do this.
I'd appreciate it if you'd send me a copy of that video. I'd like to see it.
I could
and,
definitely do that. Right.
You know, it sounds
blow
like
your socks off.
I'm ready to have my socks blown off. That'd be nice. I actually don't have any socks on right now, but
have been off for a long time.
but I'm ready. But it sounds like really, you know, that basic training gets people back. I mean, it's that connectedness as opposed to the demand for something that's related to dopamine and the shot of dopamine. It's that connectedness is what relates to getting serotonin moving and shifting the whole persona, the whole of physiology over to a different function.
Right. You know, you helped us so much with your suggestion of, I forget which part of it but we were giving him an allowance and like a teenager. And we switched it to a business arrangement. And the deal was go to a rehearsal, at choir rehearsal at church, and you get paid what the other singers get paid. Go to the service, you get paid for that. Then you get the rest of it, $50, the rest of it, divided up 7 ways. I want a good report for all 7 of the days, respectful treatment of your mother and siblings and whoever else, and helping around the house to a reasonable amount. You don't have to be a slave. Just try to anticipate. Right. If there's a dish or two in the sink, you wash it. You help cook. You do a grocery shop, vacuum. He's been doing all that. And he missed one day. He kind of slept all day, and his mom reported to me, so I paid him $7 less, and he didn't complain about it. So I'm thinking this is great because we're treating him like a grown-up with a job.
Hey.
Oh, it's
that's
just
awesome.
Hard
what a relief.
To watch these kids struggle toward their lives again, having been so hurt. And COVID and the news and all this is so hard on them anyway. Yeah. And I suddenly can't hear you. I don't know why, Michael. Oh, it's
my volume.
Let me
see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can. It was.
Okay.
I was evidently holding my phone in such a way that I lowered the volume. Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
Well,
so,
as you're speaking about this facility, it sounds like he's got the time to perhaps enter there and get some of that support. So I'll hold the space that if that's the appropriate thing for him, that's what he's inclined to do, and it rocks.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like a really good idea. I will send you that thing. Dr. Tim interviewed this man, but basically what Dr. Tim did was not anything. He just introduced him, and then the guy just took it and ran.
Just
and he's
ran
so enthusiastic about his program that Dr. Tim wasn't even tempted, I don't think, to ask a question. He just,
that's great.
The end, Dr. Tim said, that's the easiest interview I've ever given.
Awesome. Well, I'll look forward to hearing it.
Yeah.
It sounds like another perspective that will be really good for us to be aware of and integrate into our whole conversation. So,
yeah.
Always nice to have learning opportunities.
Right. Well, you're good about that. That's for sure. So anyway, other news. I don't really, except my son is really loving his work, and he's stretched to the end with emergency surgeries and dealing with sick people and so forth. But he's still saying, I basically love my work now. I come home and have not a shred of energy to even talk to anybody. I just dive into my bed and go dead asleep for a couple of hours, but which is amazing. I think that's true for all the medical people probably who are in the hospitals, the staff and stuff. So
definitely big kudos and accolades to the medical world at this point with what they're dealing with in hospitals and such. I know when Jeannie's dad was still in the hospital here, they had 20 people in the emergency room that were waiting for his bed for days.
Wow.
And so, you know, 20 people for that one bed. They actually tried to kind of pull a fast one on us to get him out of there sooner than he should have been. So, I mean, the strain and stress they're under is enormous, but it sounds like Jonathan has really reached a new level of connectedness in his own heart and being. So that's awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, he has. And our older grandson, Lukey, is still drinking. He is functioning. He's living in a frat house. I probably told you that, where they have parties and drinks. And it's insane. And he has asked us money, and we've said, no, we can't. I hope you understand. We don't go into anything. Al-Anon says, don't say anything. Don't suggest. Don't bawl out. Just say, no, I can't. It's the best love we can give you is to say no, sorry. And he writes back and sends a heart, yeah, I understand, okay. So he's just not ready yet, I guess. So that's, thanks for asking.
Well,
you've got the full report.
It's nice that you're there being the space for when he's ready to move differently. That's That's about the biggest gift you can give him.
Yeah, I'd love to have him go to that place, too. That place I was telling you about. I'd love to have him go, but he would not be willing to go. Jacob, on the other hand, might be. You're talking
brothers
about
together might be interesting.
Oh, wouldn't that be?
That would be powerful.
What a great idea.
Talk about a family healing opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
And maybe Jacob could inspire him. You know, maybe if Jacob got set up, maybe Jacob could be part of inspiring him to come and be there to support his little brother and receive some support. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have any other reports, but thank you for the meditation and the talks and everything.
You are most welcome and deserving. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Michael.
All right. Lots of love and blessings. Give Tim a hug for us. I look forward to receiving that video.
Thanks.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Blessings.
Okay. And we have another
one. Oh, great. Let's say hello.
I believe this is Julie, 541. You're on the air. How you doing, girl?
Hi there. Well, thank you.
You've been on my
you.
Mind a lot since Friday.
I know. Wow, has that much time gone by?
It has.
First of all, Jeannie, when Michael was acknowledging you as this amazing genius that is in managing to run this whole website and everything that goes on with it, beyond that, thank you from me also. You are a dear heart. We all need a dear heart in our lives.
thanks.
And we only get to see the surface, Julie, of what she's doing. Like right now, one of the things she's been working on for about 3 days now has been sewing together the Beatitudes radio shows that we did with Mark so that they can be available. I mean, it's huge, Jeannie, and, you know, deep, deep, deep appreciation.
Wow. It's so great. It's rich. You know, in our day and age and kind of the capitalism approach to it, is to package everything and sell it, you know? And centuries ago, there were the gospel writers, and that was a way of preserving it and extending it. And to have the power of our technology today to reach out like this and forever be present, you know, this cannot get lost in the old deep sea scrolls again, you know, especially if we carry it inside us, that precious jewel, the jewel of
and we're
Akma,
also
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're also working on setting it up so that it becomes permanently available. That's a project that's part of what's ongoing to make sure that it's available regardless of circumstance.
Mm-hmm. And I would guess maybe it needs to be archived into a museum too, you know. But anyway, step by step. So
yes.
I'm improved just by being in the space of love and remembering that and this beautiful meditation today. Thank you so much. I felt like it was meant for me. And,
sweet.
I do.
It was.
I accept it. Thank you. I'm going to.
It was meant for you.
Thank you.
And me and you and you and you and you. You know, we're all in this together.
Thank you. Well, I receive it it brought me to tears while I was in it. And just remembering the caress of love, the embrace of love, you know, not even remembering it as a concept all the time, just to receive it like you offered it today.
Did you keep your breath moving through it?
No, sometimes I choked up.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd invite you to give a listen and listen and listen until you can breathe all the way through it and just be in full receptive mode.
Yes. Yes, with nothing else going on. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That. So I've been overviewing my energies and haven't sat down and written anything, but what I woke up with this morning, and by the way, I should add yet, because I'm designing and carving out space to do that work. But this morning I woke up with first set a filter of love. And since I know I'm doing work on myself and it's not about that person out there that I mentioned, it's just a resonance that activates in me that's still in me to be healed. Setting a filter of love works for everything. I think sometimes so easily that I forget there's stuff underneath for me to still work on. And I'm starting to see that the regular doing of worksheets helps manage that in a way that, you've said it before, but I'm saying in my work, it doesn't have to become a big dramatic trauma.
Right.
So,
but you know,
so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
You resonate the line from A Course in Miracles that says, let me back up a little bit before I go to that. So I hear you talking about, so here I am connected, the filter of love is set, and I'm there. What can take me out of it? And what the Course says is you must be aware of the distorting power of the way you want it to be. And its goals, the way you want it to be different, that recruit or resonate from carbon-based memory, those limiting energies. And that's why if you find yourself loading a goal, and goals are wonderful, have all of them you want, but if you find yourself loading the goal and it energizes a perceptual construct based in pain, the importance of is instantly as you catch that happening to cancel the goal. You may be in the middle of the muddle and there are 1,000 things going on and you got to get it done. That's the time to stop and cancel the goal anyway and let that perceptual construct that's been called forward by the way you want it to be collapse in on itself and create that next level of healing. And the most important, the most urgent time to do it is when one is in the middle of the muddle to cancel that goal. Every time I think of it, even now after this many years of working with it, when I realize the key to forgiveness is canceling the goal that recruits pain content into activity is just so genius literally, in fact, I was writing about that this morning. The whole world has been conned into believing that forgiveness is about how I'm going to let you off the hook because this is moving in me. Like I'm not responsible for what's in me or what's moving. And it's always my goals that are at the root of the pain coming into view. So thank you for that reminder. Are you still with us?
Oh, can
she
you
had
hear
dropped
me?
And yeah, I got her back on.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think I was still muted or something happened. I'm here?
You're here.
You
loud and clear.
Oh, good. Thanks. So I missed it. I got cut off somehow. I might have touched my phone in the wrong way. Right when you were starting to read the Course in Miracles quote. And so, however, I did hear this part about the goals, and I will re-listen to this show. I'll catch that quote.
You must be aware of the distorting power, the distorting power of the way you want it to be. And that when you hold a goal, if it pulls something from the past forward, recruits something into activity from carbon-based memory that's based in hostility or fear, that's when our perceptual construct shows us something pained. And if we're pretending that it's caused by the outside world, of course, we put that pain into our brain's image of them. And then we have this picture world where we really do see them as responsible for our pain. And with that, no idea that it's about the distorting power of the way I want it to be. And when I can cancel that goal, the genius of that piece of information from 2,000 years ago is the key to the whole thing. It's just mind-boggling to me. Even now, after 40-plus years of working with it, you know, it's like, phew.
I know, and it actually, even though I was so dire-sounding yesterday, I actually am experiencing faster releases on smaller things. But when a big one's coming, there's no way around it. And I go through my tears and walls and things like that until finally I have my willingness to have it be better than I'm seeing it in this moment, you know? And so I wanted to share a goal just now while the radio show has been on that I was struggling with yesterday, but I didn't see it as a goal. I was still blaming that I thought that my partner wanted me to fit into his box and think the way he thinks and walk the way he walks. And I was feeling he was trying to control me and all these things that he was doing to me. And just today I see that underneath layer now, which is, and it's all true. All of that is actually a relative truth because it's related. But the root.
You mean it comes
underneath.
From, it's a truth that comes from your relatives?
It's relative truth.
Yes.
But it is a box, but I'm the one that set my goal to fit into that energetic box way back when I thought I had to survive with my parents. It is one of those.
Yeah. So you ready for another piece of it, though? And we're down to the last minute.
Okay, go ahead. But I was going to do a plug for you. Never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so my offering would be if you think back to some of the shows where you've called in and how you wanted him to walk your talk and learn what you were doing do what you wanted, maybe that whole thing was just projection, thinking that you had to fit there because he wanted it for you, when the truth is that's what you really wanted from him. That's the way you wanted it to be.
Yes. Yep. And thinking I need it. I can't do my work without it. I can't do a relationship without my partner, you know, being that way for me. So I have to learn it first and stop demanding and abandoning.
Well, actually,
thank you.
What you want to do is cancel the goals, because that's where the healing happens.
Okay.
Stopping the behavior isn't canceling the goals. That's inhibiting. That's like behavior therapy. What you want to do is look at the distorting power of the way you want it to be, the goal that you're holding, and collapse it, collapse the perception by canceling the goal. And there's where the deeper healing is.
Okay. And the box that I was being asked to fit into was stopping a behavior. So that's good. I have to look.
Right.
I have to look at that as a goal that I've had. Okay.
Right. So did I hear you saying that the box that you wanted him to fit in was to stop some behaviors?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it. I heard you. Cool. And we're down to the last. We'll just run the show out. We won't have the outro. We'll just go ahead. We're just down to a few seconds. So nice catch. Nice work. Appreciate you.
Thank you for helping. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Blessings. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and blessings. Bye-bye.